relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends. This is America First One-on-One with a guest who we've been trying desperately to get back in studio for the longest time. Some pesky thing called the Woo Flu got in the way. But he's back with a unique perspective, because I do believe he was born in that part of the world. He is none other than Oz Guinness, the author of, well, I asked him before we sat down, this new book, what number book is this that you've written? He said, 30-something. Okay, fine. I feel I put in my place. It is the Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith and the Future of Freedom, a beautifully produced book, and it is authored by none other than Oz Guinness. Oz, welcome back in studio.
Thank you, sir. Great delight.
So, for those who haven't caught the discussion we had with you in studio, I think it was over a year ago, recognize the last name, but aren't sure who the Oz part of it is. We love to introduce or have our guests introduce themselves before we get to the meat of the discussion. So who is Oz Guinness? Where was he born, and what has he been doing most of his life?
Well, I'm the great-great-great-grandson of Arthur Guinness, the original brewer, and very proud of our family heritage and the integrity and generosity of the firm down the centuries. My own branch of the family, my grandfather was one of the first Western doctors in China. Actually, he survived the Boxer riots, and he went into the Forbidden City and treated the Empress Dowager and the last emperor in the early part of the 20th century. My parents were born in China, and importantly for this book, I was a 7-year-old in the Chinese Revolution. So I remember the day.
You have memory? You have memories of that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's important for this book because I remember the day when my dad said to me, "Son, we're in trouble. Chiang Kai-shek has abandoned the city." We were in the capital. "And the Red Army's coming in." And I remember the Reign of Terror began. I was there for 2 years under that. And my parents were kept another 2 years under house arrest. But the important was, many years later, I was at Oxford as a graduate student and had dinner one night with Isaiah Berlin, you know, the great philosopher of freedom, Jewish. And we discovered he'd been a 7-year-old in the Russian Revolution, and I was a 7-year-old in the Chinese Revolution, the two big communist ones of the last century. So we compared notes. Thank God the English-speaking people have stood up against totalitarianism. But in the mid-70s, when I was with him, it would have been unthinkable that America would be tempted by anything like a radical socialism, let alone a cultural Marxism. And yet, that's where we are today.
That is sadly where we are today, and I think much of what we have to discuss comes from the juxtaposition in this beautifully produced book. I'm just looking at the cover. I have my dedicated copy fresh in my hands, but you have two revolutions depicted. You have George Washington and the American Revolution, and in a reverse mirror image upside down, you have the famous, well-known image of the French Revolution. And your thesis, if I remember well, is that there is a conflict between these two types of revolution and a misunderstanding of why each is important and what they truly represent, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, the French Revolution only lasted 10 years in France, and then came Napoleon. The revolution is completed. But it was like a volcanic explosion, and the lava flows have flowed out ever since. So this is not communism. We're not talking about classical Marxism, but rather cultural Marxism. So you look at things like postmodernism, the sexual revolution, identity politics, all these things which are troubling the waters now, they all come out of the heirs of the French Revolution, and they are diametrically opposed to everything about the American Revolution. But the big difference, say, between the 1850s, where are the leaders at the highest level who are articulating this?
Yeah. This is, okay, I could, let me just start with, you know, you began with your personal history and your childhood. I'll just make one observation, if I may. So my father, my parents suffered as children under fascist occupation in Hungary. Then they were persecuted by the communists who replaced the fascists. My father resisted with a secret Christian students organization, was betrayed by Kim Philby, arrested, tortured, given a life sentence, 2 years in solitary, 2 years down a prison coal mine, eventually liberated by the freedom fighters of the Hungarian Revolution. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that I had to come to understand much later in my life, once I was born a free man in the UK to Hungarian refugees. But there was this point in my childhood I really, of course, went totally over my head, where I guess some TV show on BBC or something mentioned the French Revolution, and then out of nowhere, my father comments, the worst thing that ever happened to our civilization with regards to the French. I'm thinking, oh, really? Because that's not the conventional wisdom with regards to the French Revolution. So let's start there for a moment. Why is there such a substantive difference between the French and American Revolution? Where do we begin in terms of just how greatly they differ?
Well, the big source in the beginning is where they come from. So the American Revolution, through the Reformation, actually comes out of what in the 17th century was called the Hebrew Republic. The Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, Exodus and Deuteronomy. Whereas the French Revolution comes from the French Enlightenment, Rousseau, Voltaire, Diderot, and people like that. But they have different views of humanity. The American Revolution, very realistic. Checks and balances, separation of powers to limit the abuse of power, which is a biblical view, comes out of the Bible. Whereas the French Revolution, utopian. And you go on down the line. But the big differences are over freedom, and of course this year, over justice.
Yes.
Now, with justice, everyone recognizes there is injustice, but the difference is how you address it and fight it. And that's so important as we look what's happening on the radical left today.
We'll talk about what's happening in America and across our civilization on the left in a moment, because we have time. We're talking to the author of The Magna Carta of Humanity. Previously, his last work, The Last Call for Liberty. He's Oz Guinness. Are we doing a little bit of a propaganda on ourselves? Are we misinforming ourselves by calling it the American Revolution? Yes, it was a revolution against King George and the usurpation of certain rights. But really, shouldn't the Revolutionary War really be termed a reaffirmation of what was good in Western civilization? Is that a better description?
Well, yes and no. I understand what you're saying there. You get away from all the radicalism of the left.
It wasn't a tabula rasa. The founding fathers didn't come up here and just invent stuff out of thin air. They built a republic based upon the best of what civilization had to offer, correct?
But remember, the English Revolution came out of the Reformation too, although it failed.
Yeah.
Whereas the difference was American succeeded. But you know, the biblical idea was that God creates order, humans create disorder, so God works in the disorder to reorder it. So the revolution is actually not turning the world upside down, it's turning it the
right
way
side
up. And that's why actually the Christians in the English Revolution used the word revolution. That had that biblical idea behind it.
So as it informs the geometric stand, putting right side up.
Absolutely.
Sense.
So it's a question of who says so.
Interesting.
Now you think of, say, the Apostle Paul, when he the agitators say to him, these men who've turned the world upside down, revolution, have come here. Now from his perspective, he was turning it the right way up.
Yeah, we have so much to discuss. The book is The Magna Carta of Humanity. Let me begin where we ended last time. You write these books, you explicate what is going on because you are fundamentally an optimist, correct? In the biblical sense,
hopeful. I always say optimism and pessimism, circumstances, character, is the glass half full? No, no. I try and be as realistic as I can, as you are, but hopeful. And I was point out where we can do something, you know, because the difference, there are a lot of fatalists today because of scientific determinism, everything in cycles, you can't overthrow. Yes, you can. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. Humans are made free.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful.
Well, you are listening to America First One-on-One with Oz Guinness and me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald Trump, member today of the DOD's National Security Education Award. If you enjoy our deeper dive discussions, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, not just the radio show, wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for My Name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe today, share the links, give us a review. And don't forget, we also broadcast live stream on video. All our interviews, all our segments are posted after the show at rumble.com. It is the First Amendment alternative to YouTube. Look for us at rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Oz Guinness after these messages. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. The Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is helping tens of thousands of Americans every single day. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. That could be your story. That should be your story. But there's only one way to find out. But it's okay. It's super simple. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether Relief Factor works for you, like it works for Lee, Leah, and me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. The only thing you have to learn, the only thing you have to lose, is the pain. Don't wait any longer. Do it now. That's my guarantee to you, Dr. G's guarantee. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Oz Guinness. We are in the third day of our Angel Tree campaign for those children, sadly millions of them across the nation, who have a mother or father incarcerated. Will you help to make their Christmas just that little bit better? What we do with your donations to the Prison Fellowship is provide Christmas presents to these young girls and boys on behalf of their imprisoned parent, with a message of Christian love from that parent, thanks to you. This is one of the most important, blessed things you could do this Christmas season. The sad truth is 70% plus of these children end up in prison themselves. Let's break that cycle. Let's help them feel loved by that Christmas present you fund and that message of Christian love from their mother or father behind bars. Please call, make a donation today. The number is 888-206-2794. They are vital. vulnerable, and they should not have to pay any price for the transgressions of their parents. That number is 888-206-2794, or just go to our webpage, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very top. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Angel Tree banner at the very top. We're back with Oz Guinness, author of the brand new work, The Magna Carta of Humanity. You've mentioned cultural Marxism again and again and again as the threat, the thing we must face in our civilization. What is the nature of, is it, some people say that Marxism failed because it only works in pre-industrial peasant nations such as Tsarist Russia or China in the 1940s. In robust nations with a strong middle class, it's very hard to have that Lenin or Trotskyite revolution. As such, the new left, the likes of Alinsky, the likes of Marcuse and others said, okay, if class war doesn't work, we've got to switch it. We've got to rebrand it as political identity divisions, sex, gender, race. Is this really just a repack? Is the new Marxism just a repackaging of the old Oz?
Well, they both want revolution. That's the link.
Okay.
But you're right. It goes back to Antonio Gramsci.
Yes.
An Italian Marxist who sat in jail under Mussolini, died in jail. He tried to figure out why Marx was wrong. The proletariat didn't do it. It wasn't politics and economics. It was culture, the gatekeepers. And if you find the gatekeepers, people astride the doorways of influence and power, and win their hearts and minds, you win the culture. And as you said, the key man in America in the new left in the 60s was Herbert Marcuse, of the Frankfurt School in the University of San Diego.
What did he bring to the evolution of this new left?
Well, Gramsci died in jail, and his ideas were picked up by the Frankfurt School, some in Germany, all over the world, but Marcuse was in San Diego. And he's, for instance, his famous essay on repressive tolerance.
Tolerance that is intolerant.
Exactly. It's behind the cancel culture. Yeah. But he was the godfather of the new left, and for me, the key moment was 67 and 68 when he and Rudi Dutschke in Germany called for a long march through the institutions.
Explain that phrase, because we hear it a lot. Yeah. The long march through institutions refers to what exactly?
Well, the original was Mao. He was circled by the nationalists. He broke out, did a 6,000-mile long march to the north of China, regrouped, came down and won the whole thing.
So an actual march.
A real march. But their idea was, do a slow, incremental winning of hearts and minds, colleges and universities, the press and the media, Hollywood and entertainment, and then sweep around and win the whole culture. Now, that was 67, 68. So 50-odd years later, they have done it. And many, many Christians and conservatives have woken up, but too late. And they don't have any idea of the depth of it. So, you know, living in Virginia, we have all the discussion of critical race theory.
Yes.
But the long march in cultural Marxism goes back far earlier, and it's far wider. So it's not just Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, mm-hmm. No Justice, No Peace. And part of the development was when George Soros stepped in, and people like him, with billionaire super funding. So you have an ever-swarming, ever-morphing pop-up protest movement, and it's all cultural Marxism in one term or another.
In my field, where I spent many, many years in military analysis, we have the phrase the center of gravity, which we inherited from Karl von Clausewitz. It's those focal points within the enemy that if you strike them hard enough, their resistance or their capacity to fight collapses. So those nodes, if you will. Where are the centers of gravity today for the foe we face? You've just described what Andrew Breitbart called the reality that politics is downstream from culture. They captured the culture. You used the phrase the gatekeepers. But where are the motors, the engines of this cultural Marxism? It's easy to say the media or academe, but can we be a little bit more precise as to where the engines are of this leftism?
Well, obviously, academic world is the heartland of the ideas, and it's sociology, psychology, the humanities, not the sciences. they're by and large traditional and rather sane. It's those areas like sociology, my own discipline, in fact. But the key thing to notice is the institutions they attack. You know, if you read, say, Wilhelm Reich, The Sexual Revolution, he says we've got two enemies we have to overcome. One, the church.
Yes.
That's pretty obvious. But two, less obvious, parents. So in the 1920s, he's saying, we want sex education for 3- and 4-year-olds. Why? To sideline parents. So what's happening, say, in Loudoun County? They were predicting this decades ago, and we should have been up with it and realized how radical it is.
Are you excited by what we've witnessed in just the last few months with these parents who clearly are have an apolitical background, weren't activists, and just said, stop the train?
I'm very encouraged. And Glenn Youngkin's a good friend of mine, a wonderful, wonderful friend and a magnificent leader. But we've got to recognize it's deeper and wider. And behind it is not just the problem of racism. There is some racism left. Thereafter, the end game, revolution. And make no mistake. And at the highest level, we still haven't had a Lincoln. You know, just as he said, America cannot be, a house divided cannot stand, half slave, half free. America cannot continue half 1776 and half 1789. But who will be the national leader to spell it out?
Yeah.
You know, even your great friend, Make America Great Again, he needed to say what made America great in the first place. America's a nation by intention and by ideas. And someone's got to address those. It's not just the military. It's not just the economy. There are ideas.
Yeah, it's clear that my former boss, President Trump, loved America. I think that's one mm-hmm. of the reasons he was elected, the authentic love for this nation. But it is now the incumbent upon us to explicate, to explain exactly why we love this nation, what makes it different, to have our narrative for why we must save the Republic. We're talking to Oz Guinness. The book is The Magna Carta of Humanity. You can follow him at ozguinness.com. That's osguinness.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is One-on-One on the Salem Radio Network. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Oz Guinness after this break. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code GORKA, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code GORKA also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First, One-on-One with Oz Guinness. Oz, let's look at the last year and a half, the last 2 years. What does the China virus and the global experience of COVID mean to you? For me, as an immigrant to this nation who believes it is the greatest nation on God's earth, I am saddened. I'm an optimist. I use that label for myself. but I'm saddened by the lack of courage generally. The idea that every business was shut down except for, you know, Amazon and, you know, the big multinationals. And we didn't see a slew. We didn't see a tide of Americans say, no, you're not shutting down my capacity to feed my children or to pay my employees. We had the odd outliers, one restaurateur in California, one bar owner in New Jersey. But the fact that there wasn't a tidal wave of resistance, are you disappointed with not just America, but with the West's reaction to the China virus?
No, very much so, in lots of levels. But if you bring up to date what I'm arguing for my book, I would put it in three words. Revolution, that's what we've been talking about. And I would say, please, Lord, no.
Yeah.
But the second word, oligarchy. In other words, what Americans are not really seeing, except for the far-sighted people like, say, Angelo Codavia and people like that, is the growing split between the elites and ordinary people. So America's not a democracy anymore. It's increasingly an oligarchy run by the elites who are technocratic, the experts, and so on.
And big
That's
tech.
That's extremely dangerous. Of course, big tech. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, where does this begin? Where does the response begin? We've seen the mama bears, this organic resistance to the most disgusting form of cultural Marxism, which is critical race theory that is bigoted in and of itself. Is that enough, or must there be somebody who picks up the staff of leadership, or can it happen county by county, state by state? You discussed in our last interview this concept in a second Trump administration of I can't remember the phrase he used exactly, a rededication of the nation? Mm-hmm. Is that a sine qua non of our requisite response?
In other words, the American system is constitutional based on the Hebrew covenant. And with the covenantal system or constitutional systems, they break down unless they're handed on from every generation to the next generation. So for the Hebrews, every 7 years, the king was supposed to read the covenant aloud and call the people back. And when you had the real breakdown, say Josiah's time, or even worse, Ezra and Nehemiah, you had entirely new periods of rededication. Now, America's got so far from the real understanding of the covenant and the Constitution, you need some future leader. And let me dare to bring in the notion of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America's examining its conscience. How do you address the things that are known evils? Well, you can. The Day of Atonement was a national response to the scandal of the golden calf. And the trouble with many Christians, they made something like the cross purely personal.
Yes.
Purely spiritual. Nothing to do with a community or a nation.
Which,
but America needs atonement.
Talk to us about why that concept that it's just personal would not have sat well with the founding fathers.
Well, because they had much deeper sense of individual freedom, but national freedom. And not, we've made it all personal and so on, which is a huge mistake. We've individualized it. Of course, the left does the opposite. It collectivizes everything.
Where's the culpability on our side? You know, this slouching towards Gomorrah or this reaching for the snooze button. Did we just kind of abdicate the culture? Why the capacity for the left to have done what it has done, Oz?
Well, take a very key thing, which I know you disagree with, is at play in Loudoun County, which is civic education. In other words, the original American motto, e pluribus unum.
Yeah.
You had to have a unum. People could come from Ireland or Italy or China or Mexico or Hungary and know what it was to be American. But today, let's be clear. I've been here 30 years now as a visitor. We've talked about the wall. We've talked about sanctuary cities. No one talks about citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
America could take in millions if it made the new immigrants citizens.
Yes.
You know Huntington's saying, it's relatively easy to become an American, but increasingly difficult to know what it is to be American.
That's the challenge. No, that is such a valid point, and I think that's why one of our weekly regular guests, the great Victor Davis Hanson's latest book, is titled The Dying Citizen. It is a tour de force examination of what citizenship should mean and what it did mean. We're talking to Oz Guinness. This is America First, one-on-one. His latest work, freshly published, is The Magna Carta of Humanity. Do you do everything that you could do to ensure that you're healthy for your loved ones? Is your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren, are they concerned that you're not the healthiest you could be? There are so many reasons to take balance of nature, but that's one of the reasons that I'm serious about it, because I'm serious about my personal responsibility for my health. You know you need to eat vegetables. You know you need to eat fruit, but very rarely do we eat enough. These six little capsules, three red for fruit, three green for vegetables, provide me with everything my body craves. 10 servings of 31 different fruits and fibers. Get serious, do it for your loved ones, and right now, Dr. Douglas Howard, the inventor, will give you 35% off and free shipping on your first order. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A. Call 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA.
The most awesome pipes in talk radio, Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and our special in-studio guest, Oz Guinness. Let me ask the tough question that most people don't wish to grapple with. I look at recent events. I look at Kyle Rittenhouse, the smearing of the 17-year-old boy as a white supremacist. I see what's happening on the southern border with the exploitation of illegal immigrants by coyotes, by people who just don't just make money out of them, but abuse them as well. This cultural Marxism isn't just a political foe, is it? There is truly something diabolical at the heart of all this.
Absolutely. Now, let's be clear. The bookends of history are authoritarianism and anarchy. And the genius of America is ordered freedom.
Yeah.
Covenantal constitutional freedom. And if we squander this, it'll be one of the catastrophes of history. It's a tragedy. I'm not American. But sometimes I weep. Sometimes I'm angry to see Americans on the left suppressing freedom and much of America carelessly squandering it. It is a disaster.
Talk to us about the theological or the spiritual aspects of what we're living through, Oz.
Well, there's a definite theological aspect in that, you know, the heart of covenantal ideas is freedom under God. And you only have it in the biblical view. Take a notion like freedom. If you look at atheism, it is as deterministic, Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, B.F. Skinner,
yes.
J.B. Watson, Sigmund Freud. Atheism is as deterministic and having a complete lack of freedom as, say, the Babylonians who believed everything was from the stars or whatever, or the Greeks who believed it was all fate. In other words, freedom is uniquely and distinctively Jewish and Christian from the Bible.
What is your response to say that, you know, we are not a Christian nation?
Well, we're not. No, the genius of that's a very controversial topic for
yes.
a simple reason. America's not. Like, France was officially Catholic. England is officially Anglican, Protestant. America's officially nothing. But while it was not officially or nationally, formally, institutionally Christian, more than 90% of the time of the Revolution came out of the Protestant evangelical background. In other words, most of the ideas are Christian. Most of the people were Christian, although the nation was never Christian in official sense. In other words, disestablishment was wonderful.
Separation.
Yeah, because it meant that faith was voluntary. You cannot, must not coerce faith.
But is it accurate to say that one doesn't have to be Jewish or Christian to be an American? But that American values are fundamentally rooted in the Judeo-Christian value system.
That's right. Everyone was welcome. But we're increasingly becoming what Europe already is, a cut-flower civilization. So you take something like human rights. Are humans merely toolmakers, naked apes, or selfish genes? Out of that sort of background, you'd never get human rights. What's the basis? The understanding that humans, every one of them, are made in the image and likeness of God.
And the best argument against multiculturalism or relativism is?
Without truth, there's no freedom.
Unpack that, because that's rather a deep philosophical statement. Without truth, there is no freedom.
Well, take the notion of postmodernism or the famous Economist cover in 2016 about being in a post-truth world.
Yeah.
That idea, 2016, goes back to Nietzsche in the 1880s. God is dead and truth is dead. Now, if God is dead, which he isn't, of course, and nor is truth dead, but if you take that as so, all you have left is power.
Yeah.
That's the danger of the left. In other words, when they address injustice, it's only power. You have a conflict of powers, and the Romans were very clear about what the end result would be, the peace of despotism. In other words, you either have a conflict with no end, or the only end is where some power is unrivaled and can put down every other power. Another word for authoritarianism. So without truth, there's no freedom. And that's what Jesus said. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
When you look around our civilization, when you look at the West, and we see these very negative examples of how we are faring in response to things such as the China virus, are there any nations, any leaders, any movements that provide you some kind of positive sense that, yes, these people get it? Is there a country, is there a movement that gives you even more hope?
Not really. There may be better or worse responses to COVID. But why I love America is that she has the opportunity to be the greatest expression of ordered freedom. In other words, freedom maximized, justice maximized, peace maximized, and so on in all of history. So if this, what Washington called the Great Experiment, is squandered, it is, as I said earlier, a calamity.
Yeah.
A great calamity of the ages. And that's why I, as an Englishman, an Irishman, want to stay here and fight for this. And I meet Americans all over the place. They just don't understand their own experiment. They don't understand how late the hour is.
What is it the Bible says about the prophet in his own land? And he's not recognized in his own land, has to go to another one. There is something about the immigrant's eye. We are both immigrants to the United States. As such, I don't really understand this strange thing with regards to Thanksgiving of, Black Friday? I still don't understand it. However, I've been told by our marketeers that it's a real thing. So, Randy, thank you. If you want to support us, if you want to buy only American goods this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, check out our website, sebgorkastore.com. Right now, we have a special Black Friday deal. Buy any two America First items and get an America First t-shirt free. Send your pride in this nation as a message to all those around you. Check out our amazing line of products. Also, all three of my books are available at our website. That's sebgorkastore.com with our special Black Friday deal. Tell the world what you believe in with pride. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A store, sebgorkastore.com. We are talking to Oz Guinness, the author, most recently, of The Last Call for Liberty. And now his brand new book is The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith and the Future of Freedom. You can find out more at ozguinness.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is One on One.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back. This is One on One with Sebastian Gorka and Oz Guinness. What do you say to those people who, A, see themselves as not having to do anything beyond paying the bills at the end of the month because everything else is politics and they're not political? despite, as far as I'm concerned, an age in which the left has politicized everything from, you know, little children wearing masks to whether or not a nation state can be sovereign. What do you say to those people who say, no, 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 that's somebody else's job? Or to those who wanted to get involved at whatever level, but who truly, truly, Oz, feel intimidated and cowed? What do you say to them?
I say to them, remember the American system. I've met Christians who said to me, for instance, my model's the early church. They couldn't do very much. They kept their head down. They were faithful. And I say to them, that's the wrong model, because America is based on the Hebrew Republic. And the notion in the Hebrew Republic was that the reciprocal responsibility of everyone for everything. So as the Jews put it, every Jew is responsible for every Jew. Now, transfer that to America. Every American is responsible for every American and is responsible for the American Republic. So people quitting and opting out is a failure of citizenship. If they're people
okay,
of faith.
this is fascinating. Let me just dig a little deeper here.
Well, let me just finish, though.
Go ahead.
The only thing, we can't be obviously responsible for the whole.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're able to stand up or able to speak out in our family, in our workplace, but we don't, that's when we're truly responsible.
Wow.
So everyone in their own sphere, at their own level.
I'm so glad you said the first part. I mean, all of that was fabulous, but the first part, because there are so many Christians and Catholics as well, thinkers and authors who are recommending this course of action where you just, you pull out of society,
yeah,
and you go and build your quote-unquote monastery somewhere and you disconnect. And I'm thinking, are you serious? When the threat is the greatest, you actually go and hide somewhere. So it drives me insane. So I'm so glad you said what you said. But as devil's advocate to the second point, when you say that Hebrew model, I, as a Hebrew, as an Israeli a member of the tribe, and I'm responsible for my fellow member of my nation. What if somebody says, oh, that's collectivism. That's what the Marxists believe. What's your response?
It wasn't. Because, for example, private property was individual absolute rights. And you had people like, say, Elijah confronting Ahab, who took someone else's land. Or worse still, Nathan confronting David, who took someone else's wife. You know, there were things that were absolutely sacrosanct individual rights, like marriages and like property and so on. This is not collectivism. But you did have that responsibility. You love your neighbor as yourself and so on. It wasn't just pure individualism.
Well, right now I feel schizophrenic. I'm not an optimist. I'm an optimist and a pessimist. Why? I'm a pessimist because that's it. Our time is up. I could do that for hours. We have to get Oz Guinness back in studio. What's the good news that makes me an optimist? It's okay. I've got his book. Dedicated copy, actually. You can get yours right now. It is The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith and the Future, written by this man, is worth your time. Please check out his website, ozguinness.com. That's Oz, O-S, ozguinness.com. God bless you, Oz, for doing what you do. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch all the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.